Here for the Lowe's early Black Friday deals? You're right on time for some of our biggest savings. We're talking up to 50% off select major appliances, plus up to an extra 25% off when you bundle select major appliances. Holiday lights going up soon? Select ladders are up to 50% off right now. Get Black Friday prices without the Black Friday crowds. Lowe's, we help you save. Valid through 11/19. Selection varies by location. Select locations only. While supplies last. See Lowe's.com for more details.
When you think boots, you think Ariat. You think comfort from day one and durability to day 1,000. You think steel toes on the job, square toes on the dance floor, with style that owns a Saturday night and still looks sharp enough for Sunday dinner. And through every mile and every moment, you're thinking Ariat boots. Boots that show up, stand out, turn bad ideas into better stories, and still punch the clock come Monday morning. Now, it's time to stop thinking and start shopping. Find your Ariat boots at Ariat.com or a retailer near you.
Entering Kenmore. Doors will open on the left.
How's it going, everybody? Welcome back to episode 4 of Entering Kenmore. A little bit of a longer break this time. I am David Azer alongside Zach Coe. Zach, welcome back. How we doing?
Doing good. Like you said, been a bit of a long time since we last recorded. Obviously, things got a little hectic with the holidays and everything, and then I know I was away for a little bit. So
yeah,
also nothing's really happened. So
yeah,
nothing. Tough of note, to talk really. About.
Yeah, we have one big, or I don't even know if I can call this a big signing, but we did sign Walker Buehler. The Red Sox signed Walker Buehler to a 1 year, it was like $21 million contract.
Yeah, and there's a mutual option for the next year. I think I'll have to look up exactly what it is. But I think it's for like $25 million in 26 if I think there might be like an innings requirement or something like that too. But yeah, a 1 year deal for all intent and purposes.
Yeah. And I know we talked about it, I think at the end of last episode, kind of that second tier of starting pitching. Who would we rather between Buehler, Jack Flaherty? I think there were a couple, maybe Manaea was in that list too. And I remember telling you that I was kind of more into the idea of Jack Flaherty just because Buehler has obviously the length, the injury history. And to me, just looking at the 1 year deal with, if they're the mutual options, which I'm not entirely sure that will be picked up. I guess it really depends how he does, but
yeah, I'm looking at the contract now if you want.
Okay.
So it's a 1 year, $21,050,000 contract, $3 million signing bonus, $15 million base salary. It has the mutual option for 26 for $25 million. It includes a $3 million buyout, and he gets $500,000 for starting 20 games, 22, 24, 26, and 28.
Okay, that's a lot of incentives, I feel like, too, which I guess makes sense just because, like I mentioned, the injury history there.
Yeah.
Where are you at on this contract? It seems like pretty low risk to me, but maybe could have done something more.
Yeah, I do. I like the signing. I'm a fan of Buehler. I listened to Alex Cora on Baseball Isn't Boring with Rob Bradford right before we got on this today. But he was kind of talking about how when they signed Buehler and when they were talking about signing him, he was always kind of a step ahead of them, where they would be like, okay, we want you to try this. And he was like, buddy, already trying it.
I like that.
So it's nice to see that they're on the same page, and even in some cases Buehler's ahead of them in what he's trying to do. To obviously he wasn't great last year up until the playoffs, and then obviously he really turned it on late in the playoffs. But he was talking about how immediately after they signed him, Joe Kelly and Kike Hernandez called him, and they were like, you're gonna love this guy, like just the way he goes about his business. So that really got me on board with it. I don't think it's enough. I think there still needs to be another addition in
right
in the rotation, because at the end of the day, you are talking, like, we're talking about a lot of risky signings so far, at least on the pitching side, and really in the last several years. Like, we saw James Paxton have to come in and rehab his Tommy John. Obviously not the same situation with Giolito, but Giolito was terrible in the second half of, what was it, 23?
Yeah.
And then comes in and obviously his elbow explodes in like the first day of spring training. But that came with its own risk despite the injury. And then Liam Hendricks obviously coming off Tommy John too, Patrick Sandoval, Tommy John. It feels like there needs to be some form of certainty. And even, I don't think Garrett Crochet, although he's a like incredibly high ceiling player, I think his floor is like a closer, like, or a reliever. Yeah. Like, if things don't pan out the way that you're hoping they do. So I'm looking for a little bit more certainty in the rotation.
Yeah. I do like the name value, if that makes sense. Like, to go from, you know, Tanner Houck, Carter Crawford headlining your rotation to proven guys in Garrett Crochet, Walker Buehler, Giolito, names that you know and have, you know, carry some weight. The thing that worries me is, like you said, relying on these guys who are coming back from injury is very risky. It's especially with Buehler, who, yeah, he pitched last year. He wasn't very good until the postseason, obviously closed out the World Series. Then you have Giolito coming back. You don't really know what that's going to look like. He was a workhorse before the injury, but at this point, are you going to want to be like, hey, we need 200 innings from you after you haven't pitched for a year? You were on the shelf all of last year. And Garrett Crochet, you keep saying that you're like, yeah, he's going to get a full starter's workload, but I haven't seen that yet either. So it does make me a little worried. I think the depth is at least encouraging. I think we kind of forget that Cooper Criswell exists, and he did have a very solid year last year.
Who cares?
Yeah. But it's like, if something were to happen, at least you have somewhat of the depth. If Patrick Sandoval can even pitch this year, that remains to be seen. But you do have Criswell, you have Quinn Priester, whose name I probably should have mentioned first. But there are some other guys like Richard Fitz.
Dickie Fitz.
Yeah. So
if they're giving Cooper Criswell spot starts over Richard Fitz or Quinn Priester, I'm going to lose my fucking mind.
Yeah, I don't see it happening. To me, like, he's probably a relief guy.
Yeah, I just don't care to see any more like 4 2/3 and dive out of Cooper Criswell, where he like he gives up like one run on some bullshit contact, and like he's so boring to watch. I don't need any Cooper Criswell in my life.
No. And yeah, that was on me for mentioning him first. Obviously there were some better options there, Priester and Fitz, and maybe some other guys too that I'm blanking on. Overall, I think it's a decent signing for this year, but it gives you the same problem next year. Like, if this is a one-year deal and he doesn't accept a mutual option, or the team opts to, you know, not engage that option or whatever, then you're in the same spot you are this year. You need two other starters, especially if Giolito, who is also on, only has 1 year left in his deal, right? Maybe it's another option with him.
There's another option with him there too. But not to mention, you're also expecting Cutter Crawford and Tanner Houck to repeat career years. And like, I'm not really a Cutter Crawford guy. Just the home run rate pitching at Fenway Park is just, it's not going to be good enough for me long term. So he's a guy that I feel like everybody has kind of traded him in every which way this offseason. And there really hasn't been any smoke around the Red Sox actually shopping him. But he's a guy that I'm not sold on here long term. Obviously, Tanner Houck, I think he has the same type of reliever risk that Garrett Crochet has. Obviously, he was an all-star last year, but we'll see if he can put together a bigger workload and maintain that all-star level or even take a step forward. Because if he can, then you're talking about, and you add another stability guy like Sandy Alcantara got thrown around today. I still am on Dylan Cease. I feel like I haven't seen anything linking him to them, but like I feel like that's a no-brainer for me. But you're talking about probably the best or second best rotation in baseball. If you can get that step forward from Tanner Houck, Garrett Crochet is what you want him to be. And you add a stable Dylan Cease, maybe like a Framber Valdez. He was rumored to be being shopped by the Astros, like a guy like that, like you're talking about a really, 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 really elite rotation.
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, there are still some free agents out there. I think that may transition well into kind of our next big point was Craig Breslow spoke with the media. I think it was 2 weeks ago now, maybe like a week and a half, but mentioned the Red Sox pursuit of Roky Sasaki and said that they were not granted a meeting with him. So it seems like the Red Sox are probably just out on those sweepstakes entirely, unless something develops late here. But it also seems like he's talking to at least like
they're half the league team. I forget who had the report the other day that Sasaki met with at least one mystery team. They're the mystery team.
The Red Sox are the mystery team?
Yep. I don't know why or have anything to prove that. It feels weird that they wouldn't get a meeting. I mean, didn't Breslow go to Japan to watch him?
I think so. Yeah.
Like, he was one of a few, like, I think it was him, Cashman, and Farhan Zaidi who I'm pretty sure he got fired. So, because Buster Posey's calling the shots in San Francisco now.
Yeah.
So, like, it just feels weird. Like, obviously, I think the relationship with Yoshida, like, should have worked in your favor. And, like, ultimately, like, if he's not going to help recruit Sasaki, or, like, if he can't even help get you a meeting, like, just DFA him if nobody's interested.
But here's the thing. I know we talked about this in one of the earlier episodes, is maybe it wasn't even Yoshida giving a pitch or not giving a pitch, but just seeing all the publicity on, the Red Sox don't want this guy. They're shopping him. They refuse to play him in the field like we were talking about before we started recording. And now he's basically a glorified platoon bat. I don't know.
Yeah, but they also, they have a good track record with Japanese pitchers specifically.
Yeah, they do.
So you think that would, like, and no offense to Masataka Yoshida, I'm a Masataka Yoshida guy. Like, I think he's kind of getting fucked here by the team and even in his, like, perception around the league. But the Red Sox did that to him as much as he did it to himself. But, like, Roky Sasaki is so much better at baseball than Masataka Yoshida.
Yeah.
So, like, they can see a guy that is kind of getting jerked around by the Red Sox right now. But, like, also, like, Sasaki is so much better than him and not going to be put in that position because he's going to go out there and perform. And, like, I don't know. Like, with their success with Japanese pitchers, Daisuke, Hideki Okajima, Shinichi Tozawa, Koji, like all these guys, and plus the pitching factory that they're putting together with Breslow, Bailey, and Kyle Bodie, I don't know. I thought at the bare minimum we'd be looking at a meeting, so I'm really shocked that they didn't get one.
Yeah, and I think that could change. I know they mentioned that I think the deadline for him to sign is like January 23rd. Third, something like that. So maybe this could all be irrelevant in the next week or so.
I imagine until the 15th. Either.
Yeah. And yeah, so that week is really going to be where all the Sasaki rumors come out because it's been pretty much nothing up to this point, aside from Breslow being like, we don't have a meeting.
Yeah, we heard the teams who had the meetings. It's the Yankees, Cubs, Mets, Padres, Dodgers. I'm missing a couple, but those are the major players.
Yeah, which is interesting to think about too, because you mentioned the Mets and Yankees both having meetings, and a lot of times when we're talking about Japanese free agents, the whole debate is, they only really want to play on the West Coast because it's closer to home and all that. But if the Yankees and Mets are getting a meeting, I don't see why the Red Sox didn't.
Yeah, and at the winter meetings, his agent, Joel Wolf, said that he hadn't, mentioned any type of preference on playing on the West or East Coast. I don't know. Like I said, it's pretty puzzling to me that they didn't get a meeting. The Mets make sense because of Kodai Senga, obviously, so they already have a Japanese pitcher. The Yankees doesn't really make any sense to me at all unless Roky Sasaki just fucking loves Masahiro Tanaka.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah. But I don't know. It's really, I think I said this on a previous episode. I think he's going to the Padres.
Yeah, because Yu Darvish was his mentor or something like that, right?
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, so some familiarity there. Also, the Padres really haven't made a big splash this offseason, and this isn't really a money issue. Yeah. I don't think they're bringing Tanner Scott back.
No.
There are some rumors that maybe they want to offload some contracts, but I don't know if that's even possible for some of the big deals that they have. I wouldn't hate seeing him go to San Diego. A lot of people think it's already a done deal that he's a Dodger, and I'm at least going to enjoy the sweepstakes while it lasts, because this is such a unique pursuit, whether the Red Sox are in it or not, that I think a lot of teams could have a really good pitch and that kind of sway him away from the Dodgers or one of these other big teams.
Just a quick thing. Like you said, it's a really unique pursuit in that it's not, we're not talking about a mega deal. We're not talking about the 330 mil that Yamamoto got last offseason. That it's literally, it's capped at however much international signing bonus money you have. There were like 10 teams that just didn't even express interest in joining the Sasaki Suite.
I don't understand why. Like,
what is the point? Like,
yeah.
Like, even if, like, I don't know the teams that they were, obviously, but like, say you're the Pirates and you're one of the teams that didn't reach out. Like, okay, you have Bubba Chandler coming up. You have Skeens, obviously, Jared Jones, Mitch Keller. You could say, all right, we don't really need starting pitching. What does Paul Skeens and Roky Sasaki look like in the same rotation? Like,
that would be awesome.
Like, that would be absolutely ridiculous. Like, the A's, like, any of these, like, every team in baseball can use Roky Sasaki.
Yeah, like, even the Mariners, I was gonna say, like, they pretty much have a set young rotation, but if you bring in a Sasaki, that only makes it easier to trade one of the other guys. I know we talked about that a bit too.
Logan Gilbert, George Kirby, Roky Sasaki. Like, like, in the most pitcher friendly ballpark in the league.
And they don't want to spend any money.
They have the Japanese player success story.
Oh, yeah.
Played for their franchise.
Should be a unanimous Hall of Famer. I don't know if that's actually going to happen because all of the dinosaurs refuse.
He can't be unanimous because Babe Ruth wasn't.
Well, yeah, fuck Babe Ruth, but that's a conversation for another day.
We can I think we're gonna do a Hall of Fame episode. We keep talking about that, but I'm sure we can get into plenty of our gripes. We kind of already did it either an episode or two ago
with the Pedroia case.
But yeah, wherever I don't know how we got back on Hall of Fame from Sasaki,
because Ichiro.
Oh, right.
But yeah, anything else on Sasaki? I'm curious if his status changes at all.
No, nothing else really. I think he's going to be a stud. It just, by all accounts, like, you're getting Paul Skeens pretty much, and all it's going to cost you is money. I'm really upset that the Red Sox, as far as we know, don't have a meeting yet.
I know. That's kind of absurd.
Like, I don't necessarily, I didn't think they were going to land him. Like I said, I think he's going to the Padres, but it would have been nice to at least have a seat at the table and be able to appeal to a guy like that. And not to mention the fact that you're going to have him under team control for 6 years and he is pretty much a plug and play ace.
Yeah. And I mean, that lines up perfectly with your timeline of, hey, now we're just starting to get into this competitive window and he's, what, 22, 23 years old? Like, that is
I think he's 21 or something like that.
Yeah,
he's
right in that range. Like, that goes right along with your depth at AAA, that Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell, and some of these other guys who could come up and make an impact this year. That would be pretty sweet.
The more
rotation problem.
The more and more we talk about it, too, the less sense it makes to me that they don't have a meeting.
Yeah.
Like, you have the pitching factory. You have their history of success with Japanese pitchers. I mean, even Daisuke has more, well, probably not anymore, but he, going into this year, had more World Series RBI than Aaron Judge.
That might still be true.
Yeah. I don't know. With how he played. But
probably has less errors than Aaron Judge in the World Series.
Definitely. Like, you talk about the Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell, like, and I know they sent him a video because they said they sent him the initial video. And it just feels like one of those things where if they could have like gotten a meeting and sat down with him, it's really something that they could have sold him on, because
yeah,
he's essentially like you said, he lines up, he couldn't line up more perfectly with what they're trying to build and the timeline in which they're trying to do it. So
yeah,
I really hope they're the mystery team, and maybe, I don't know, miracles happen, I guess.
Yeah, they very well could be.
I won't hold my breath.
I won't either, but it will be cool to keep an eye on. The rest of our talking points are pretty much just a hell of a lot of smoke on various different people, whether that be Tristan Cassis, which we can start with, because that has been a thing all offseason. And I know that...
Even in the regular season.
Yeah, yeah.
Like August, they were like, what if the Red Sox traded Tristan Cassis?
Yeah, for no reason other than he was being slow to come back from an injury where it literally felt like he was getting stabbed.
And dude, and who cares? Like,
exactly. Oh,
he could have helped us finish in third place in the AL East.
No, no, we could have scraped into the playoffs, like, and gotten smacked. Like, I don't really care.
For a team who is so hell-bent on, like, following the plan, and the plan is that, and presumably the plan, like, at one point involved Tristan Cassis. So, like, for a lost season, for them to be, like, you have to work your way back from torn rib cartilage better, like, quicker, it doesn't make sense. That, and I think the fact that they pander to these 110-year-old fans that hate him because he paints his nails.
I know.
Like, who gives a shit? Like, oh my god, my first baseman paints his nails and he hits 40 home runs every year. Humanity.
Yeah, yeah. And the other part of this is, like you said, he was always mentioned in that, you know, Roman Anthony, Jaron Duran, Tristan Cassis, and now you got Christian Campbell and some other guys, but he was always a part of that. Like, he was getting called up earlier, and he posted right from the jump, pretty much. I don't understand where this turnaround happened, because he's really done nothing to warrant that. Like,
I don't know when we became the New York Yankees, where... Yeah. You can't have a personality. You can't have a beard, and you can have a mustache, no beard. It's, you wear black and white because you're like you represent the business class of New York. Like, this guy has a personality, and we're like, get him the fuck out.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it drives me nuts.
Like, the whole thing about difference between the Red Sox and Yankees, especially in the early 2000s, like after watching the comeback documentary and seeing how they were like, oh, like, We're the band of idiots and all that. Like, why don't you continue to embrace that? Tristan Cassis is doing interviews on Nesson with his own teammates and acting like it's just a goof. Like, I don't see what the problem is. He was the MLB
choice to, like, be the player representative at the Home Run Derby on their, like, TikTok live stream or anything. Like, how is the league, who fucking sucks at marketing its own players, doing a better job marketing one of their players than you are for your own a guy on your own team? Like, instead you're actively trying to get rid of him.
Exactly. And I'm sick and tired of the left-handed bat debate in this scenario, because he's like, what, 25, 26, 24. Maybe not even.
He's 24.
Why does a left-handed bat, just because he bats from the left side, or I guess the rights, I don't know how it works, but anyway, it just pisses me off that
that's from the left side if he's left-handed.
Okay, yeah. Wait, but I feel like I would be in the right batter's box, wouldn't I?
No.
Yeah?
No.
Hold on.
If you're looking at it from the mound, if you're looking at it.
Okay, yeah, from the mound. But if I'm standing on this side, like, my perspective is I'm batting from the right side, you know?
No.
Okay. Well, ignore me. My brain doesn't work all the time.
I guess if you're the catcher, you're in the, like, lefties are in the batter's box to your right.
Yeah, it's closer to first base. So it's on the right.
Sure.
Anyway. What the hell was I even talking about? Okay. So... Yeah, it pisses me off that people are like, oh, Tristan Cassis is a lefty. Like, we have too many lefties, so let's automatically ship out our 24-year-old stud and not some of the other people that are way lower on the – should be way lower on the totem pole. And I just don't know. I don't know where I was going with that after the whole the old batter's box debate, but
after left and right handedness broke your brain.
Yeah, I was broken long before that. But all this to say, just can we please stop with the Tristan Casas trade rumors? Especially his trade value has never been lower. So
I don't want it to sound like I'm completely against trading him, because I'm not. Like, I do think there are like deals that you could you could get Jared Jones for Tristan Casas. Like, I think you make that deal.
Yeah.
It just doesn't sound like his value is anywhere close to that.
Exactly.
They were trying to, we didn't mention this yet. They tried to attach him to Masataka Yoshida to get rid of the contract for Luis Castillo. What are we doing? And it's like $18 million on Yoshida. I'm going to harp on this over and over and over again. It's $18 million and you're the Boston Red Sox. Give me a break. $18 million. Like, it's a shitty contract and nobody wants to take it, but you're the Boston Red Sox. You used to be the ones to buy a prospect for $18 million and stash shit bums on the end of your bench. And now we're talking about attaching a 24-year-old stud first baseman that's already performing at the major league level to get rid of it.
Yeah, I want to bring up another point along with that is the Red Sox did the same thing pretty much with Pablo Sandoval, did they not?
Yeah.
Like essentially in that 2018 run, they were still paying Pablo Sandoval to not play baseball for the Boston Red Sox. I'm right on that, right?
Yeah, it was like deferred money, but
whatever it may be. But the point being, Pablo Sandoval signed a 5-4 $95 million contract. So it's essentially the same deal as Yoshida. Mm-hmm. And they were able to work around that, win a World Series. Obviously, their payroll was at a much higher point than it is now. But all this to say, it shouldn't fucking matter at all.
No, not at all. And I know you mentioned it too, like, oh, he's a lefty. You can't have him because he's a lefty.
Oh, no. Yeah.
We're talking about Nolan Arenado, but the guy they're calling Cardinals Boston Strong, he had a report that the Red Sox are like pretty much the last chance of Nolan Arenado getting traded, but it's all contingent on Casas getting traded. Like, they're going to move Casas first so that they can get a better return for him and then trade for Arenado. And Nolan Arenado brings some sort of like semblance of balance to your lineup. When you look at the lineup card, he has a little R next to his name
because
he hits right-handed. He was worse against left-handed pitchers last year than Tristan Casas, and he's also 9 years older. So, like, yes, Casas wasn't great against lefties last year. He also wasn't awful against lefties, and they sheltered him like you wouldn't believe. He only, obviously, he missed a lot of time, but he only got 56 at-bats against lefties, and he hit 250. So I just I'll pull up the Arenado numbers right now, but like this fake argument that like, oh, they need a right-handed bat like Nolan Arenado in their lineup, like, and I'm not opposed to trading Casas for the right return. I'm not opposed to trading for Nolan Arenado, but if that involves trading Casas and moving Devers to first base, which I have harped on this too, I don't think it's a given that he's just going to go over there and be good at first base, especially because he compounds mistakes. Like, he misses a scoop at first and then he has another one immediately the next play. He's not going to make the play again. Like, he dwells on stuff. We know he does. We've seen it for his entire career. So, like, I'm okay with trading for Arenado if it's a salary dump for the Cardinals, or if, like, it seemed like the most logical swap was just Yoshida for Arenado. I think if that were even remotely a possibility, it would have happened by now.
Yeah.
So I'm not counting on that. While I was going on about this, I do have Arenado's numbers versus lefties now. 234 in 145 ABs. So, like, he's washed. I'm willing to say that Arenado's washed. I think that adding his defense to the infield would be worth trading him. It's not worth trading him for Tristan Casas.
No, absolutely not. And the other part of this is, your infield defense is going to be largely the same if you trade for Arenado, put him at third, and then have Rafi at first. I don't think that solves a defensive issue.
Anything. No.
No. Like, the only way this makes sense to me is if you sign Bregman or you trade for Arenado, you put them at third, you keep Cassis at first, you get Yoshida the hell out of here, I don't care how, and you make Devers your full-time DH. And this has been the debate all offseason. It's kind of gotten to the point where we're just going around in circles. Every single media outlet I've seen talk about this is just like, oh, what are they going to do? Is Devers going to be pissed off if he's a DH? No one knows. And I don't exactly.
He's making $330 million to play baseball. Like, if you were not signed, if you were a pending free agent, fine, be mad. I would be mad too. They're fucking your value. They've already paid you $330 million and it's all guaranteed. You're getting $330 million fucking dollars to play baseball. You're going to play where they tell you to play.
Yeah. And like, why has that been the biggest argument here? Is, oh, but we don't want to piss off our franchise player. You're making his job 10 times easier.
And he's going to be better.
Yeah. Yeah. Because like you said, he compounds those mistakes, and not only does it affect his defense, it also affects his offense, because he's still in his head about, oh shit, I fucked up that
didn't
play.
He get hurt? He hurt his shoulder in the field.
Yeah.
And then couldn't hit his way out of a wet paper bag after he got hurt.
But yeah, all like a lot of last year, his shoulder was like barking pretty much the entire year, I think. And
yeah,
that was because of a play in the field, was it not?
Yeah. I think it was in Anaheim. It was like right around the time. I think it was right around the time Story got hurt.
Yeah.
He dove for a ball and tweaked his shoulder.
And that was like the second series of the season. The second or third series of the season. Yeah. So that.
And I think it lingered. It started in spring training, because I think I remember him not playing the field. And like also, like, I don't understand what the stigma is about being a DH. Like, David Ortiz, ever heard of him? He's in the Baseball Hall of Fame and his number's hanging up in the right field facade at Fenway.
Yeah, like, yeah.
I don't understand. Like, the pushback from – I know Devers hasn't said anything, but his agent has come out and said that he's not a DH. Like, and I know he takes pride in, like, going out and being in the field, but, like, he also – like, Cora said in that interview with Bradfoe, he cares about winning, and that the first person to know about a position change would be him. But, like, he also kind of sidestepped it, because he didn't talk about Bregman at all. He was just like, he's a good player. And, like, it's not just about the intangibles. He's a good player. Like, obviously, he's a guy that they're – actually, they haven't made an offer to. I know Carrabas has hinted at that on Section 10 a whole lot, which we can get into that as we – continue to go along here. But yeah, it just, I don't know, it's the Casas, Devers, the like this whole discourse. I was gonna get to this at the end here. I'm just ready for the offseason to be over, and that is the number one reason I'm ready for the offseason to be over. I'm so sick of these rumors and this ridiculous discourse.
It's been really annoying all offseason, I gotta admit. Like, at the start it was like, okay, maybe this will develop pretty quickly and we'll have a solution by like now, and there's still been nothing. They still haven't even moved Yoshida, if that's been what's stopping all of these other deals from developing. The other thing I wanted to mention real quick, and this is kind of just a one-off point, is that their new winter weekend, now called Fenway Fest, I think is on this Saturday. And I think there's media time for a bunch of these players, so I would be shocked if Devers was not asked about the rumors about moving up to third. I think he is, yeah.
I know that, like, the panels are... I was talking to someone at work last night with who is going as media, and they were saying that they're not getting any one-on-one time with players. So I'm not sure if it's just going to be the panels, because I know they're doing the like meet the pitching staff, which is going to be Walker Buehler and Garrett Crochet's first time interacting with the fans and the media. That'll so I'm sure cool. there'll be some questions there, but as far as like actual like pressers or scrums, I'm not sure how much of that there's actually going to be.
Okay. So maybe we won't see that, but I mean,
Devers is on the list. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe it will happen. I'm just saying, like, keep an eye on that, because if he comes out and says like, I don't care, like I'll play DH, then nothing should be stopping you from either trading for Arenado. I think that's the less impactful move of these two between signing Arenado or trading for, or no, trading for Arenado or signing Bregman. And yeah, like you said, the Red Sox haven't had an offer on Bregman at all. And at this point, it seems like his market is pretty, like, what's the word? Like, has stopped pretty much. Hasn't moved at all much.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely. I don't.
Stalled. I don't know why that took me so long to think of. But yeah, his market is stalled at this point. The Red Sox haven't even put an offer in. And I don't know. It doesn't seem like anything's been moving with him.
No, not at all. It's him and Alonso, which I guess we can touch on that too. That I think Nightingale said that the Red Sox and Blue Jays have touched on Pete Alonso, or checked in on. Jesus, we're a mess this podcast.
We're out of practice, I guess.
Yeah, geez, it's been so long, and we're left and right handedness is breaking our brains. We're touching on Pete Alonso. It's just, it's a mess. But I don't see Pete Alonso as a logical fit either. Unless you're talking about trading Casas. I don't think he's signing anywhere to, like, he's talking about a 5-year deal. So theoretically, he's going to hit free agency again and still be in line to make some money. So I don't think he's going to want to be a DH for 5 years. And
definitely not.
I'd have to look at the numbers on his defense either, but I don't picture Pete Alonso to be the picture of first base defense. So.
No, honestly, to me, this kind of gives me similar vibes to the Dodgers Teoscar Hernandez market, where it was pretty much a given that he was going to go back to his original team. They were just taking time to figure out the kinks and solidify the numbers on the contract. To me, I don't think Steve Cohen's going to let him walk, especially after signing Soto. Like, I know the whole
feels
thing
like
has
a
been
weird,
like,
line to draw.
Yeah, yeah, right. And they've mentioned being like, oh, we want Vientos to play first base. I don't know who their third baseman would be at that point. Is it Brett Beatty?
Yeah,
who's been not very good. So I don't understand why you would be like, okay, you haven't been good in the majors at all, but we're just going to give you the full-time third base role and hope you can swim. Doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me.
I also have Pete Alonso's defense. If you thought Masataka Yoshida's -8 or whatever it was bad out in left field,
here we go.
Pete Alonso's -9 will really knock your socks off.
No thanks.
No, not even.
I also don't need him representing my team in the home run derby because he's such a weenie when
he's such a fucking loser when he does it. They're like, they pan to him and he's like fucking deadlifting in between at-bats.
He's meditating, eyes closed, like he's about to go to game 7 of the World Series when really he's just competing to win like a Ford F-150.
In a chain.
Yeah. So I'm out on Alonso. I never really was in on him. I don't see the fit. And if you're talking about bringing in third baseman, that's one thing. If you're talking about bringing in another first baseman, that makes your problem even worse. It gives you much less flexibility. So
yeah, I don't even think they're in on him. I think that we're going to get into the Vlad stuff probably next. Yeah. I don't think Bob Nightingale has a fucking clue what he's talking about.
No.
So like for him to say like, oh, the Red Sox have checked in on Pete Alonso, I don't put any stock into it at all. I am curious what happened with Anthony Santander because we got those rumors earlier in the offseason that they had checked in on Teoscar and Santander, but they preferred Teoscar. And now we just haven't really heard anything about, like, I think I saw the Blue Jays made an offer to him.
Yeah.
The Mariners were interested. Like, that'd be the perfect Mariners signing in the sense that they need like a big bopper bat and they're just going to like go out and get Anthony Santander and he's probably going to fall off a cliff in that ballpark.
Oh, like, very likely. Yeah.
Like they need a bat. They need like another superstar to go with Julio Rodriguez. And they're going to be like, how about Anthony Santander?
Yeah. Yeah. And apparently no one wants to play in Canada. Cause that's just been the whole thing this offseason is absolutely no one wants Toronto's money.
I think maybe Corbin Burnes would have if he just only cared about the money, but he just wanted to play for the Diamondbacks because that's
Should we touch on that? Because I think that was after or in between our last episode.
We can. Do you want to do the Vlad stuff and then do that?
Yeah, sure. Okay, so like we alluded to, Bob Nightingale. I don't know where this came from. I don't have the whole tweet in front of me, but I know, I think it was yesterday or the day before, he was like, oh, like if the if the Blue Jays can't get something done, then the Red Sox are in a very good position to sign him. And
he didn't even say that. He said if, like, if the Blue Jays, he's given them a deadline of spring training for an extension, and if he doesn't get something done, he's going to be wearing a Red Sox uniform spring training of 2026.
Like, where is that coming from?
Source. I made it up.
Per source. Trust me, bro. Yeah.
Yeah.
Like what?
I would love Vladimir Guerrero Jr.
Yeah.
These rumors started when they started, like, I feel like 80% of the rumors on Red Sox Twitter, they started with Coley Mick just saying, like, oh, you know, it'd be sick if the Red Sox could trade for Tatis. He said that, what, 2 years ago, the Red Sox should trade for Tatis. And now we're 2 years later, we're getting articles saying that Tatis to the Red Sox for Willier Abreu, Cutter Crawford, and Franklin Arias, which, like,
oh, yeah.
I would, like, there's a 0.00% chance. Like, if you offer that to the Padres, they laugh right in your fucking face. Like,
yeah, and don't, like, never call you back. Like, that's it for those negotiations.
Like, every rumor involved, like, he mentioned Correa on Section 10, and then we're seeing who says no, Carlos Correa to the Red Sox. Like, there's it, just every rumor that he says winds up coming to fruition.
Jared Jones.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Sandy Alcantara. That's what we got today. It's just, yeah. Vlad would obviously be sick. He absolutely rakes at Fenway Park. Pedro's his godfather. Like, it would be awesome. I just don't.
Yeah.
I don't know that they're gonna pay. Like, he's already turned down $350 from the Blue Jays, and they say he wants four. He's looking at $450. So, like, $450, once he hits the open market, you're probably looking at like five. Are you giving Vladimir Guerrero Jr. $500 million? Like, I understand he's only 25 and, like, he did lose a ton of weight, but, like, is he a body that's gonna hold up over the life of a 15-year deal where you're paying him $500 million? And, like, another guy that he was a negative eight outs above average at first base, so now you're talking about having Devers and Vladdy, who both long-term are probably DHs, like, one of them has to be out in the field until they're fucking 40. Like, that just, it doesn't feel like, on paper, it looks like a logical fit. And, like, ultimately, if he, like, comes to you and says, like, 450, like, give me 450 or even 400 and I'm a Red Sox, like, you do it and you figure it out from there. Mm-hmm. But, like, I'm looking at his Savant page right now. He had a just absolutely ridiculous year last year after having a down year in 23. Yeah. But even, like, some of the metrics were still good in 23. Like I said, obviously it would be great. It just kind of feels like it's founded in nothing.
No, I'm with you there. I think the interesting part of this is if you were to sign Vladdy Jr., it makes Tristan Casas a lot more tradable. And I know I just bitched for about 10 minutes about how I'm tired of hearing about those rumors, but if you are going to do it, I would say you wait until next offseason and you're like, okay, wait, we have Vladdy now. Like, we can afford to move Casas and it not be that big of a deal.
But how does that affect his value? Because then again, you have three guys for two spots.
Exactly. So that's been the thing all along is, do we even have the spots for all these guys, especially if Christian Campbell pans out, then you have him at second base or wherever you want to spot him in. And Marcelo Myers still on track at this point to be called up probably either late 2025 or give him a whole nother year and call him up in 26. I don't really know, but
I think we'll see them all at least a little bit this year.
Yeah. Especially if they're out of it come September and Meyer hasn't been called up yet. I think the other two will have already been called up at that point. But
I think they're maybe not Campbell. I think Anthony is going to force their hand on the opening day roster. I know they said that they wanted to get Rafaela to play mostly center field.
Yeah,
this year. But ultimately, I'm not a believer in Rafaela's bat. I don't care what kind of defense he provides you. And when you have a guy like Roman Anthony, who we can get into that MLB pipeline poll where he was 40% of the people that they polled said he was the best prospect in baseball. Like, you have that guy knocking down the door it just feels like a move that they're eventually going to have to make, where Anthony's going to get called up because he's just hitting the absolute piss out of the ball. So that could come in spring training. It could come in May. Like, I don't know. I would prefer them get called up just right off the bat, because then you're in position for that pick at the end of the first round, if they win rookie of the year.
That, and I'm okay with their struggles being at the major league level. Like, I know a lot of teams will call them up maybe a little prematurely. We kind of saw it with Jackson Holliday, but I would argue he forced their hands.
He absolutely hit the shit out of the ball in spring training, and they still sent him down.
Yeah.
And he was still raking in AAA. Like, he forced their hand for sure.
Yeah. He forced their hand, but the difference was he struggled right out of the gate, and they sent him back down. And then I think he hit the piss out of the ball again in AAA. Mm-hmm. So it didn't really do much. They called him back up, and I know he was better. But my point being, I would rather just see these guys fail at the major league level, especially when you are pretty certain, like, all the metrics are telling you that these guys are going to be studs. I would just let them figure it out. I don't like the idea of being like, oh, Roman Anthony, you had a shit couple weeks. Like, we're just going to send you back down.
Especially given the competition level at AAA. Like,
yeah,
you see some, like, top pitching prospects at that level, but for the most part, a lot of teams are just calling guys right up from AA. So I would rather them be facing major league pitching than like some quad A guy that they're gonna see on the Binghamton Mets, or like
you're gonna have Rich Hill throwing you the ball.
Yeah. Like, I don't care to see them. Like, I know they can hit those guys. I want them to be up at the major league level. Like, not only because I think they're gonna be studs, but like, that's how you learn. Like, that's how you're gonna adapt. Like, and I think Anthony's probably going to be pretty sheltered against lefties, just with the way that they've handled Casas and Abreu the last couple of years. So I think that's going to be a slow transition into him hitting lefties, which, like, I don't really like that either. Like, like, he's a lefty, so he can't face lefties. Well, he's going to have to eventually. Yeah. So you might as well just trot him out there. I think Campbell's a little different because he has more versatility. Like, I think if Von Grissom has a great spring training and Campbell also does, you can stick him in left, Duran in center. Like, there's a bunch of different routes they can take with Campbell, whereas I think Anthony's probably a left fielder.
Yeah. And to kind of tie this back to the Vladdy point was, Vladdy is on that similar timeline of these guys. Like we said with Sasaki, I think he's only – Vladdy's like 26, 25. Yeah, 25. So come next year, he will be almost 26, if not already. And this is essentially another Soto type of free agency. And
yeah,
so that's what kind of gives me a little bit of hope, where the Red Sox we're in on Soto. And we know, like we were talking about before we started recording, that Cora said that was a legitimate pursuit. Maybe it'll be a similar type of thing with Vladdy. I don't really know, but
it all lines up with what Heim said however many years ago, that they're in the market to pay guys like Devers. Devers would have hit the open market at 26. Vladdy's going to hit the open market at 26. That's when Soto hit the market. If Tatis didn't sign that extension, that's when he would have been there. Mm-hmm. It's so the mold of the player in terms of age and when they're going to be getting the majority of their prime lines up. It's just, I don't know if the roster building lines up, but again, I don't think the roster building lined up with Soto, and they supposedly offered $700 million for him. So like I said, it's one of those things where you do it, and then if you can get that type of player, you do it and you figure the rest out later. And like, I don't know. Like you said, if we're talking about keeping Casas, which I don't know that you keep Casas if you're getting Vladdy, but even so, you're talking about Vladdy, Roman Anthony, Christian Campbell, Devers, like Crochet. Like, you're talking about a team that's going to compete for a lot of World Series.
Absolutely. Yeah. And it gets the juices flowing. Obviously, that remains to be seen. But I think the last thing we really had to touch on was Corbin Burnes, obviously not coming to Boston. Signing with the Arizona Diamondbacks of all teams. I believe it was 6 years, $210 million around there. And I think it had an opt out after 2 years. And maybe some others. Yeah. But yeah, his market cooled off a ton, especially after the Crochet trade. I think the pitching market as a whole really just kind of simmered. And it was always rumored that Corbin Burnes preferred the West Coast. I know he was talking to the Dodgers and the Giants, and obviously nothing ever came from either of those teams. He wanted to be home ultimately in Arizona, and it makes a ton of sense.
I think that's why his market cooled off. I think because it was reported that he had higher offers from at least two AL East teams. Oh. I assume the Blue Jays were definitely one of them. I guess the Orioles. Like, I don't think the Red Sox were. I think it would have been reported if it was the Red Sox. There's just there's too many reporters and too many people in the front office. Like, I think we would have heard that. So I'm going to assume it was the Orioles. But I think what the stalling point was that he was just waiting for the Diamondbacks to pay him. Like, it was similar to when the Red Sox got JD Martinez. It was just like, Boris was like $200 million, and the Red Sox were like 110 or whatever he ended up signing for, and Boris was like $200 million, and they were just like 110, and eventually they got to that number. So I think it was mostly just him going to the Diamondbacks saying, hey, I want to play for the Diamondbacks, I just had however many kids, I live here, can you do whatever, can you do 260? And they were like 210, and they were like, how about 250? And they were like 210, or maybe even the other way around, where he was just waiting for them to make an offer, like get close, and ultimately they got there. But it is interesting. I would have loved Corbin Burnes, but it just seemed like he was signing with the Diamondbacks no matter what, now that we know how it plays out.
I am curious how this plays into their pitching as a whole. Like, their rotation is pretty solid. Like, Corbin Burnes, Zach Gallen, Eduardo Rodriguez.
Gallen's a free agent after next year.
Yeah. And who else? Brandon Pfaadt, who was good in the World Series or the playoffs last year, or now 2 years ago. But yeah, that is a solid rotation, especially the NL West is going to be such a dogfight now. And I think it was even before that, but pretty much four of those teams and the Rockies, who are terrible. But those other four teams are in pretty prime position to compete. I think the Giants, they just signed Verlander, which we didn't talk about, but it was definitely a move that they made.
They gave him $15 million to pitch. That is for sure. It is a contract that they signed.
But yeah, all that to say, I'm just interested in how that division pans out. I mean, obviously it's the Dodgers division to lose. It always has been for the past like 5-10 years at this point, but a lot of competition could be seen.
Especially
there.
If the Padres get Sasaki, it's just,
Yeah,
and I mean the Diamondbacks traded for Josh Naylor earlier in the offseason,
right.
So they have Jordan Lawler coming up ready for shortstop. It's just they're an interesting team. Abington legend Mike Hazen has done a great job out there.
Oh, I didn't know he's an Abington guy.
Oh yeah, big Abington's finest.
Love that.
Him and me are probably the top two people ever.
And John Lyons. John Lyons is in there.
Oh yeah, that's right. Yes, John Lyons. Those are the top three.
Yeah, I agree. The GOAT. Did we have anything else to touch on? I know this is kind of a quicker pod than last time we had a 2-hour one.
We had the Cotillo bullpen stuff. They're to like every single bullpen arm available. I can pull up the names for you. It was obviously Tanner Scott, and I think it was either Heyman or Nightingale that said that they thought that the likeliest landing spot for Tanner Scott was the Red Sox, which I feel like we had been hearing that for a while. It was pretty much a foregone conclusion for a little bit that Tanner Scott was going to be Red Sox, but they've already signed two lefties in Justin Wilson and Roldis Chapman. So if he's really talking about getting like, what was the number, like 15 to 20 a year? Yeah, like 15, I think you do it. 20 is a little more. Like, ultimately, fucking Justin Wilson, who gives a shit? Like, he's just a guy you DFA or send to AAA if he has any options, and if you can get Tanner Scott. And I don't know that the back end of the bullpen has anybody I really trust. Like,
no,
Chapman is going to melt down at some point. Liam Hendricks hasn't pitched in 2 years. Justin Slayton had one good year. Like, his only, he was good. Like, Whitlock hasn't been able to stay healthy. It's just, it feels like they're Tanner Scott away from having a really, really good bullpen, or even somebody with more certainty or with more control like Helsley. Like, it just seems like they need someone with more certainty to lock down that bullpen. But I have the list here. Tanner Scott, Jeff Hoffman, AJ Minter, Carlos Estevez, Tommy Kahnle, Andrew Kittredge, Phil Maton.
Yeah. So basically the entire free agent list.
Except for Kirby Yates.
Yeah, which is interesting.
Who's the second best of the bunch.
I think also, what's his name? Is it David Robertson?
Yeah.
He wasn't on
that list. Yeah, he's out there. No, he wasn't either. And that we do know, speaking of the bullpen, Chris Martin, obviously, 1 year deal with the Rangers. We know through Bradfoe that the Red Sox offered him more money and he just decided to go home for his last MLB season. Hard to knock him there. I know some people were like, the one guy they want to give money to and he won't even take it, and like trying to spin it as a bad thing. Like, just say that you don't pay attention.
Yeah, yeah. Especially with the anxiety stuff that he dealt with last year.
He's retiring. Like, he's from Arlington, Texas. Mm-hmm. Just say you don't pay attention.
He also already played there.
Yeah,
I think.
So, he did. Yeah.
Yeah. So it's like, I can't blame him for that at all. And same deal with Kenley. Like, he didn't want to play here anymore. He's going back to the Dodgers.
He got put through the ringer by ownership. Heim was ready we know that Heim was ready to take the next step forward and become open the contention window, which they're now doing, in that he got the kibosh put on it by ownership. So he told Kenley and Chris Martin too that, like, all right, so we're starting to spend money and starting to build this team here, and then it's a 2-year deal. Year two, now we go. Like, now we're going to be in the World Series in 2 years, and they didn't even make the playoffs. And they didn't spend.
Not quite.
We know. Like, I know it was almost a year ago at this point, but remember the ridiculous comment? Not even ridiculous, because he was right. The comments he was making about the team in spring training last year.
Yeah, yeah.
Where he was like, "Yeah, I don't know. Like, we pretty much fucking suck." Like,
yeah,
he didn't believe in the team at all, and like, ultimately, like, he was just he was sick of Boston, and at the end, Boston was sick of him. It was a weird roller coaster of a year for Kenley, between the Kenley boys and then him just leaving the team with like a month left in the year to go hang out at Dodger Stadium.
That was so funny. Like, he was so outward about it.
He was there for like every game of the Dodgers playoff.
Oh, yeah. It's just hilarious. I remember that Devers too said something like, "Oh, like, we know what, like, they know what we need," or something like, in spring training.
Yeah.
So Kenley wasn't the only guy. I have to imagine they're feeling better about this offseason. I still think there's work to be done, but your rotation is in a much better spot than it was. You said you needed two starters, at least two starters. You got two of them. You know, people can have their opinions on whether or not they're the right fit or if you need to add something else, but at least they're doing shit this offseason.
Where are you at? Like, what if the offseason ended today, what grade do you give them?
I would give them a C+. Is that fair?
Okay, I'm like right in that range. Yeah, I was gonna say C. So
yeah,
we're on the same page there.
I put the plus in because I really like the Garrett Crochet trade. I think that is a very future-sighted move, especially, like you said, in the Cotillo article, that they were already potentially talking extension.
Yeah, he said yesterday they have the arbitration hearings, or the deadline for arbitration agreements is coming up before you go to the hearing. So they started, they already agreed with Cutter Crawford. I think he's making like 2.75 mil or something like that. But in the arbitration talks with Crochet's agents, they've started to talk about a long-term deal. Passan at the time said that his agency might compare him to Tyler Glasnow, who, after he got traded to the Dodgers, signed a 4-year $110 million deal, but he was also 1 year away from free agency and Crochet was two. So theoretically, you would think that that would make it cheaper for the Red Sox to get a deal done, but I think that they'd want to go longer than 4 years. So something in the 6 and 180 or 7 and 180 seems to make sense with me, with obviously the elevators as he gets older and out of those arb years, but we'll see if they come to an agreement. I mean, it would, I hope at the bare minimum they can avoid arbitration, because to trade for this guy that you're then trying to extend to sit in an arbitration hearing and be like, here's all the reasons you suck. Like, yeah. You know the effect that that has on pitchers. Corbin Burns was very outspoken about how that completely ruined his relationship with the Brewers.
Yeah, and same with Devin Williams. Obviously, they traded him. But that was a whole debate we talked about earlier. But yeah, I think a C-plus as things stand right now is pretty fair. I do expect that to go up because I don't think they're done. Craig Breslow has made it very clear that they still want to add a right-handed bat and they still want to add some bullpen help. I don't know if that is going to be the premier options of both. I don't see them bringing in both a Bregman and a Tanner Scott. Maybe not even one or the other. But I do think there will be improvements in both areas.
You're going to get Carlos Estevez and Tommy Canley, and you're going to
like Randall Grichuk.
Yeah. If they get Randall Grichuk when they have Rob Refsnyder sitting on their bench, I'm going to lose my mind. They're the exact same fucking player.
Oh, yeah. We said we're jumping off the radio tower if that happens.
Yeah. Yeah, Randall, you wanted Alex Bregman. You wanted Juan Soto. Welcome to Boston, Randall Grichuk. We're doing our last podcast on the radio tower.
We'll do a little a pregame to our big reveal, and just say how hyped we are for Randall Grichuk, and then we'll just end with, you know.
Yeah. See you later. The swan dive. Yeah. Yeah. Like Karam signed off the last section 10 with the gunshot. It's just like at that point, just put Christian Campbell in left field. Like,
I know, who cares? I know.
And like, every trade rumor that involves Casas when Bregman is just sitting out there and we know that they haven't even made him an offer. Like, I don't know why more people don't like I haven't heard it on radio at all. Nobody has said that they haven't made Bregman an offer because Carrabas didn't tweet like breaking, like the Red Sox have yet to make, like, we know he's friends with Bregman. We know he says stuff on podcasts, like in the way that he's saying, like, what if they haven't even made him an offer yet? It's like, we know this to be true. Like, this is
he's also doubled down on that.
Yeah. Like, we know the Red Sox haven't made Alex Bregman an offer, and people are still sitting around going like, I wonder if the Red Sox are going to get Alex Bregman. Like, I don't think it's the same situation as it was with JD Martinez, because I think the Tigers are interested too.
Yeah. Yeah. I think the Astros are pretty much out, but
yeah,
I know the Tigers have.
The Astros traded their best player, or I guess their second best player, depending on how you view Yordan, because he was going to sign a deal that's more than like 6 years or something like that. Like, so I think they're out, but like, I think there's other suitors in the market for Bregman. So I don't think it's a thing where like they haven't even made an offer. So they can't be like, how about like X, because their offer right now is $0. Like, he's not going to come play for you for free. So like, it's not a one for one situation. I don't think they're going to get Bregman. I don't know what they're going to do. I think maybe they're just going to hope that Vaughn Grissom and Christian Campbell can be the right handed bat, which I don't necessarily hate. Like, I like that better than getting Randall Grichuk or Pete Alonso or like some of the other, like even Anthony Santander to an extent. I'd rather just trot Christian Campbell out there.
I agree.
But
I
think the bullpen or another starter would be what could push me over the edge, because I do have a lot of belief in Christian Campbell to be the right-handed bat, less so in Vaughn Grissom. But I guess you traded Chris Sale for him, so you got to at least give him a chance. And he looks like he's gotten a lot stronger in the pictures that the Red Sox posted from Story Camp. So I am interested to see what he can do. And he did look better when he got that call up at the end of the year. So that'll be interesting. I would really like to see Tanner Scott, or even like, I know a lot of people really like Jeff Hoffman. It seems like he might be going the Clay Holmes route of signing a deal with the intention of being a starter. At least I remember seeing that at the start of the offseason. So I don't know how crazy I am about that. And like, this is definitely I'm just marred by Jeff Hoffman being a top starting pitching prospect and not really panning out all that well. And I'd have to look at the numbers, but this is the first season that I've heard of him being a good reliever. So I don't know that he brings the type of stability that you're looking for to the back end.
I agree.
And then like, some of those other names are just like so mad, like Tommy Canley and Andrew Kittredge and Bill Maton,
like what year
even AJ Minter, like AJ Minter would be good, but he's just another lefty. Like, if you're going to get a top of the line lefty, just get Tanner Scott and do whatever you're going to do with Bernardino and Justin Wilson or whoever. It's just, I don't know. We're talking about so many different trade possibilities and trading a 24-year-old stud first baseman, and they've still yet to spend any meaningful money. And I do like the Walker Buehler deal, but it's a one-year deal. It sounds like they wanted to go longer, but Buehler wanted to bet on himself to bounce back.
So, which, like, I don't. That's going to be a one-year deal. Yeah.
No, not at all. I mean, before that second Tommy John, he was one of the best pitchers in baseball.
Oh, yeah.
So, like, why wouldn't he want to try to cash in? Like, when we're seeing guys like Max Fried just got 210, Corbin Burns got 210. Yeah. We'll see what Gallen ends up getting. I mean, it's Cease too. Like, it's a great pitching class next year, and if he can have a good year, he's gonna get paid because everybody wants pitching. So, but it feels like they're on the fast track. Like, I think they got better, but I think they could have gotten significantly better and made themselves like an actual contender in the AL.
Yeah,
and I don't think they're gonna do that. I think they're gonna get Tommy Kahnle and Randall Grichuk, and I'm gonna if they get Tommy Kahnle and Randall Grichuk, my offseason grade turns to a D-.
Yeah, like
it.
I'm just tired of the
sake of moves.
Yeah, like I'm tired of the half measures. You know,
it's
kind of what it was last offseason. Like, the Tyler O'Neill trade was fine, but it didn't move mountains or anything. You weren't heading into the season being like, no, Tyler O'Neill's an MVP candidate, and they didn't even make him an offer again. So that's how much they didn't care about him. And also they signed Giolito, who obviously blew out his arm, so that didn't help anything. The vibes are better heading into this next year, and they could improve. I'm not super optimistic about the spending. Like, when you really think about it, they haven't committed much money at all this offseason. Like, I think they may have committed more money to free agents than the Red Sox.
They gave Buehler 21. They gave Chapman, like 10?
10. And Justin
Wilson, 1.
Yeah. And the A's gave Severino like 60-something, 67 maybe. So, yeah, you're spending less than the A's, or at least committing less money than the A's. No,
but they were willing to give Juan Soto $700 million, which, like, I don't discount that they were willing to give Juan Soto $700 million, and I don't think that just because you were willing to give $700 million to one guy that you then have to go out and cumulatively spend $700 million. I reject that theory wholeheartedly, and it pisses me off when I hear that, but it is frustrating that you're willing to do $700 million on player X, and you just have a guy like Bregman out there that he checks every box that you're looking for. He improves your infield defense. Mm-hmm. He brings more balance to your lineup. He's an adult in the room who's been there before and performed and won, which nobody has done on this team besides Devers, who couldn't make it more abundantly clear how much he hates the idea that people look at him as a leader.
Yeah,
he's just, and that's okay. Like, I think a lot of people use that as a knock on Devers. I'm okay that he's just going to hit the shit out of the ball, but doesn't want to be a leader on this team, but they do need a leader. And I think Cora wants it to be Jarren Duran, but, like, what has Jarren Duran ever won? Like, what has he ever done in the playoffs? Nothing. Like, I think Bregman ushers in a new, like, era, and even Arenado to a lesser extent. I think he's a worse player, and it seems like they're not. Another Carrabas nug from the podcast was that they offered Josh Winkowski for Arenado, and they wanted, like, way more than that, which, like if you're, like, who do you think Nolan Arenado is,
first
of all? Like, he's on the back half. He's on a not awful contract, but not a team-friendly contract by any means. It's frustrating. Like, Bregman checks every single box that you need, and all he's just sitting out there, and you just haven't even made an offer.
Yeah, it's really weird. I don't know. The offseason as a whole, I just hate how we heard about their plan.
The baseball offseason fucking sucks.
Oh, it's dreadful.
What has happened since the winter meetings? No, they went to the winter meetings. Soto signs. The Red Sox traded for Crochet. Like, all these rumors. Mm-hmm. Kyle Tucker gets traded. Like, all these things happen. Bang, 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 bang. And everyone's like, the baseball offseason is back. And then they closed up shops on the winter meetings, and they were like, all right, see you guys in spring training.
Yeah, yeah. And we had Corbin Burnes. That was the only big signing after the winter meetings, I think.
Yeah, and it's just, I know a lot of people are waiting on Sasaki, but, like, I don't even understand why people are waiting on Sasaki at this point, because he's not costing you anything. No, like, I guess, no. And it's not like it held up the starter market. Like, the hitter market is being held up right now. So I don't know what these teams are waiting for. Like, there's not a, like, marquee guy. Like, it's not like, oh, once Pete Alonso signs, then the dam's going to break. Like,
yeah,
it's just Bregman and Santander sitting out there for what? And, like, again, the most logical fit possible is Bregman to the Red Sox. And we just know that they haven't made an offer, which drives me up a wall. And, like, there's still a path for them to get Bregman and me leave being angry about it. If the plan actually is Devers to first and Casas is gone. But to know that they don't have an offer is just, it's unacceptable to me.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't, like you said, like, not a lot of people are talking about that. I don't know why they're not, the front office isn't receiving more scrutiny for that.
Yeah, it's real weird. It's just, if it's what didn't come from, it came on a podcast. So yeah, no one, so and it, he didn't say it with, like, absolute certainty, because people don't pay attention and realize what he's telling you is true. Like, I mean, like, he has, it probably came from Bregman. He probably texted Bregman and said, hey, have the Red Sox made you an offer? And he probably said, or not probably, and he said no. Like, like, exactly what he said was that they've, like, exchanged, like, the parameters of a deal, but no offer has been made. So, like, literally he texted and was like, hey, have the Red Sox made an offer? And he was like, yeah, they checked in but haven't made an offer.
Yeah, like, what are, I don't know what they're waiting for.
They're not interested.
No, no. And we heard before about the kind of debate between, I think it was Cora and Breslow, about like how they were disagreeing, which obviously shouldn't get out. But that has been the issue with the Red Sox front office. I feel like the last, like, it was an issue when Bloom was, you know, leading the charge as well. Yeah. It just seems like rumors get out of that front office way more than any other front office in the league.
Yeah, they
that's usually not a good
thing. They have a really leaky front office.
Which
I like in terms of being a fan and, like, knowing, like, knowing at least where their heads are at. But it's less than ideal when those leaks are, the president and manager are teaming up against the GM.
Right. Like, that's the thing. It's like, more often than not, those rumors are not good. And then you're like, okay, well, it's just back to the same old song and dance.
The interest have, kings.
Yeah, the interest kings. They have time still to change that, you know, characterization. Do you have anything else to add?
No, I don't think so. We're going to do the Hall of Fame stuff coming up, so I don't really have anything on that yet. I'll save that for that.
Yeah, I like the Hall of Fame idea.
Yeah, I've been pretty clear about my thoughts on the offseason and trading Casas. I don't think I have anything else. We can touch on that MLB pipeline poll. A bunch of people polled that the Red Sox have the best farm system in baseball, and some of the people that were polled before the Red Sox made the Crochet trade, only one of them changed their answer from the Red Sox having the best farm system. So even with trading Kyle Teal and Brayden Montgomery, along with Wilkman and Gonzalez, people still think they have the best farm system in baseball, which is kind of crazy when you talk about them trading two top 100 guys. Roman Anthony, the best prospect in the league. Dylan Cruz was number two. Anthony had like 44% of the votes, though, so he had a substantial amount. And Christian Campbell, they did like who's the best prospect you've ever seen, and it was like Bryce Harper, like a bunch of these superstars, and like I think it was, it must have been one person said Christian Campbell, which which is pretty interesting. I mean, I don't know that I'm expecting Christian Campbell to be like a Bryce Harper caliber player, but like if he's even anywhere close to that level player, you take that and run away laughing that you got him with a whatever, fourth round pick or whatever it was.
Yeah, no, it's definitely hard to bank on that, but the hype that these guys are getting is, I feel like, unlike anything Red Sox fans have seen in a long time.
It's really the first time since they had it started with JBJ and Bogarts, and then Mookie kind of burst onto the scene. Then obviously you supplemented it with Andrew Benintendi and the signing of Yoan Moncada. I mean, that's really, that's the first thing that comes to mind when I think about this level of hype around the Red Sox system. I mean, even Henry Owens on the pitching side, he didn't end up panning out. But
no, not quite.
Yeah, but like that time frame really, and look what happened right after that. Those guys were the next core of the 18 World Series.
Mm-hmm. I know at times I may come off as too optimistic, but I am very encouraged by all of the hype that these prospects are getting. I think, you know, better times are ahead. I think it's been a rough couple of years, and, you know, obviously this offseason could still not be what we were hoping for, but I do think a lot of our hope rests in these young guys panning out, and I'm pretty confident in that.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. I'm a pretty big prospect hugger, so
yeah.
I'm pretty pessimistic when it comes to the major league team, but I think I said a couple months ago that I think Roman Anthony is gonna be like an MVP caliber player, so So, yeah, I'm obviously really high on him. I think I mentioned I'm pretty high on Campbell, too. So, hopefully those guys can pan out and be the next core of the next World Series team for the Red Sox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that'll do it. We'll try to make it more consistent than last time. I know we took, like, a month break kind of right after starting, but there wasn't much going on. So, hopefully next time we get together, there will be maybe more signings, whether that be for the Red Sox or just the league in general to unpack. But yeah, this has been a ton of fun. Thanks so much for listening, as always, and we'll see you guys next time.